Good morning. It's again my joy and privilege to be with you this morning. UFOs, aliens, and the return of Christ. That's different. Well, buckle up because I'm going to take everyone on a space ride here in a few minutes. Now look, I wrote several different openings to this sermon. And I picked the one that I liked the least. It's because I don't want to be misunderstood. Paul laid out his spiritual resume to the Corinthians because he had to, stating that boasting is necessary, though it is not profitable, 2 Corinthians 12:1. Now, I'm not going to start with my spiritual resume because I don't really have one, other than to say I'm saved by grace through faith. But I'm going to start with my academic resume, and for one reason only. Many reject Scripture because they say it's incompatible with science. And even believers can sometimes separate the Word of God and science in two separate mental buckets. And this allows, I think, worldly thinking to kind of creep in that runs counter to the absolute authority of God's Word. So my brief resume. I was salutatorian at a Jesuit high school in New Orleans. I was a National Merit finalist. I earned a National Merit scholarship that's available only to less than 1% of high school graduates. I could have gone to any school in the country. I earned a degree in chemical engineering. I earned a professional license in petroleum engineering, so I have competency in two different engineering fields. And then I worked 35 years in a technology-focused major oil company. So do not misunderstand, I'm nobody special. But I do have a science and engineering background, so perhaps don't dismiss me too quickly for non-scientific conclusions. Ultimately, lend me your ear because I stand on the authority of God's word. So science and the Bible are not incompatible. The exact opposite is true. So I'm going to try to thread the needle here a little bit, present some technical information at a high level, but enough to support my conclusions. Don't worry if you don't understand it all, because neither do I. And you're in good company. We're in good company because neither did Albert Einstein, and we're going to see that in a minute. The secret things still belong to the Lord. And let me hasten to add that I needed no scientific apologetics in my own salvation. God drew me, I confessed my sin, and now I'm clothed in his righteousness. Now, what is my overall advice regarding UFOs, aliens, space travel, all this? Ignore it. Spend zero time on this. So, I guess the sermon's over. So why is this my sermon topic? So many people have so many questions around this, a curiosity, even a fear about what this all means. We're witnessing a proliferation, an intensification around the subject. When have you ever seen before the Pentagon testifying before Congress about aliens and UFOs? Never before has our government committed to periodic release of classified UFO evidence. There's been four releases already, and the tracking page around these releases has 1.7 billion hits. And many say there's a coming reckoning for the church when the proof of alien life is finally revealed to all of mankind. This firestorm is going to do nothing but intensify. And so I wanted to hit it straight on and put it to bed. So I'm going to start with a history question. Who ran against each other for the presidency of the United States in 1980. Anybody recall? 1980. Who are the two main guys? Jimmy Carter, yep. Who's the other guy? Ronald Reagan, very good. Who won? Reagan in a landslide. Okay, there's another unique experience that forever is going to link Jimmy Carter and Ronald Reagan. And any guesses around that? You should be able to get it from the title of my sermon. They both claim to have personally witnessed a UFO. Carter saw his in Georgia in 1969. Reagan saw his 5 years later, flying in a Cessna near Bakersfield while he was governor of California. Now, Carter's sighting was later verified. His high-altitude barium clouds that were released by rockets to study winds in the upper atmosphere. Whatever Reagan saw remains unidentified. Many other U.S. presidents have taken a strong interest in UFOs, including Gerald Ford, Bill Clinton, and Barack Obama. And now Donald Trump has authorized periodic release of classified UFO intel. Now, UFOs have now been rebranded as UAPs, Unidentified Anomalous Phenomenon. I think that's to make it sound more official, but I'm still going to call them UFOs. And not just U.S. presidents. Many distinguished U.S. citizens have also reported UFO sightings, including astronauts and U.S. Air Force pilots. No less than General Douglas MacArthur, one of the greatest generals in our nation's history, said this in 1955. Quote, because of the developments of science, all the countries on Earth will have to unite to survive and to make a common front against attack by people from other planets, unquote. Beyond these luminaries, up to 20 million Americans have said they've seen a UFO. 4 million claim to have been abducted. And what does the government know? UFOs apparently buzzed the White House on July 19th, 1952, exactly 74 years ago today. The next week, F-54 jets were dispatched over a similar occurrence. Late last year, there was a documentary film called Age of Disclosure, and it featured 34 senior U.S. officials describing an 80-year cover-up about intelligent non-human life. One former CIA operative recently claimed that our government has recovered 4 different types of extraterrestrial life forms from various crash UFOs. These 4 types have frequently been identified as Nordics, Greys, reptilians, and insectoids. The Nordics apparently look the most human. Insectoids look the least human. They resemble a praying mantis, apparently. So we're now subjected to a fire hose of news and news teasers about UFOs, aliens, and space travel. There's an incredible array of UFO organizations, podcasts, shows, documentaries, films, saying much more is coming. Even the government has an official task force led by astrophysicists to study the evidence. And just last month, there was two other newsworthy events highlighting this subject. The most valuable IPO in history, SpaceX, was completed on June 12th, and its valuation peaked at $2 trillion. Musk plans to colonize Mars. And the latest sci-fi movie from Steven Spielberg, called Disclosure Day, was also released domestically on June 12th. Within 3 weeks, the worldwide gross was $200 million. This adds to its collection of hits, including Close Encounters of the Third Kind, E.T. the Extraterrestrial, and War of the Worlds. Without question, the most profitable and popular entertainment genre in the world is science fiction. Regarding Disclosure Day, Spielberg refuses to call his movie science fiction. He's convinced that aliens have already visited the Earth and that they're probably here now. He views his movie as truth, that's going to reset society and unite humanity. So what to make of all this? I'm going to separate fact from fiction this morning. And I'm going to let you know what you as believers should do, as well as non-believers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us. We're so grateful for your daily mercies and blessings. Grant us discernment as we examine your truth. You teach us if we continue in your word, we are truly your disciples, and that we will know the truth and the truth will make us free. And if you make us free, we are free indeed. Thank you for granting us ears to see, eyes to see, ears to hear. With the mind of Christ, may we discern your truth. All glory to you alone. Amen. The world hates truth. That's why the world hates Jesus. Jesus told the Pharisees in John 8:45, but because I speak the truth, you don't believe me. So I'm going to challenge you with truth this morning. I'm going to challenge you to your fidelity to God's word. And I hope to encourage and strengthen you as well. But first, we've got to clear some things up. To begin, have we ever been visited by intelligent non-human life from somewhere else in the universe? No. Categorically, no. There's not a shred of credible evidence. No fragment of an alien spacecraft has ever been recovered, let alone an alien body. How smart are these aliens anyway if they keep coming here and crashing? Beyond the lack of any credible evidence, let me briefly explain that God's creation and natural laws make this impossible. Aliens have never traveled here because it's too far, it would take too much energy, and because of the content of space. So first, it's too far. It's essentially impossible to grasp how big the universe is. Well, let's start with our solar system, our 9 planets orbiting the sun. Now, we've done enough exploration of our own solar system to know there's no life here. Sent out a lot of probes, looked at all the planets. For example, the surface temperature of Venus is 900 degrees and it rains sulfuric acid. Mars has no oxygen. And it averages a negative 100 at night and up to negative 200. Other planets are even more extreme. So if there's life out there, it's somewhere outside our solar system. Our solar system is in the Milky Way, the name of our galaxy. And our sun is one of 400 billion stars in our galaxy. And there's billions of galaxies, each with billions of stars. Einstein's theory of relativity postulates that the speed of light is the fastest speed possible. It's 186,000 miles per second. So now we're going to pretend that we can go that fast. I've got a spaceship in the parking lot. We're all going to climb aboard, and we're going to take off at the speed of light. We're going to get to Mars in 4 minutes. That's pretty good. We'll get to Pluto in 5 hours, in time for an early dinner. We'll look at Pluto through the window and leave our solar system. But leaving our solar system would take 4 years to reach the next star in our galaxy. This is 4 years at the speed of light. It would take 100,000 years to cross our galaxy, the Milky Way. It would take 2.3 million years traveling at the speed of light to reach the next galaxy. It would take 20 million years to reach the galaxy after that. So that's two galaxies out of billions. Look, an alien spacecraft would have to spend millions or hundreds of millions or billions of years to get here. And that's if they could travel at the speed of light. Hope they packed a lot of supplies. Now, for your physicists out there, don't talk to me about time dilation. It's all hypothetical about moving at the speed of light. This is why Captain Kirk told Sulu on Star Trek to take the Enterprise into warp drive, because even on a TV show, they knew you had to move faster than the speed of light to roam the universe. Now, you may say, wait a minute. No, I've heard there's shortcuts through space. What about wormholes? You see that on TV a lot in the science fiction movies. Wormholes do have a theoretical basis. Einstein's theory of relativity is premised on the bending of space-time, which helps to explain things like black holes, which are real. Black holes create infinite space-time curvature. So wormholes are theoretically created by the quantum entanglement of two black holes. So can aliens travel here through wormholes? No. If they exist, they would be microscopic, unstable, and collapse immediately because of the gravity compressing it. It would take exotic matter, something called negative energy density, to keep them open. There may be wormholes, but there's no aliens traveling through a wormhole. So the universe is too big for an alien spacecraft to get here. Second, it would take too much energy. It would take an infinite amount of kinetic energy for a non-zero mass object to travel at the speed of light. It's impossible. And three, there's too much particulate matter in space, too much space dust. If you were to hit even one particle of dust traveling near the speed of light, your spacecraft would be destroyed. No life form, no alien has ever traveled here from somewhere else in the universe. It's impossible. Okay, then what to make of all these UFO sightings? So many people have seen so many things. 95 to 98% of all UFOs, all sightings, have been explained. Now, there's a residual 2 to 5% that remain unexplained. So what is the 95 to 98%? One quarter of all sightings is the planet Venus. What else? Is meteors, clouds, particularly lenticular clouds, ball lightning, birds, aircraft, space shuttle, satellites, space junk, reflections off of objects, all kind of stuff. Now, the government does keep something secret because we spy on our enemies and they spy on us. Governments launch all kinds of things into the atmosphere and upper atmosphere to spy on each other. If our government to launch a new type of orbital surveillance and we spot it, the government's going to call that a UFO versus letting our enemies know about it. And if we spot an enemy surveillance object, once again, our government's going to call it a UFO before we let our enemies know we're onto them. Look, spy stuff is secret stuff, and all governments are going to call what they launch UFOs. But what about the few percent that remains unexplained? These are manifestations from the spirit world. God knew men's heart when he warned us in Deuteronomy 4:19, and beware not to lift up your eyes to heaven and to see the sun, the moon, and the stars, all the host of heaven, and be drawn away and worship them and serve them. It's always been man's tendency to look up and worship what we see. And now we're seeing UFOs and aliens. Satan takes advantage of our idolatrous ways. He's the prince of the power of what? Of the air. This is all consistent with the activity of Satan. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. It's a part of signs and false wonders with purpose to deceive and cause people to perish. The demonic world is responsible for the unexplained manifestations of UFOs. Now you may ask, how is that true? Why would Satan bother to make UFO activity part of his plan? It's a brilliant strategy to completely distract from our living God and Creator, to look to the cosmos for the source and purpose of life. Elon Musk unknowingly revealed this purpose in a past interview. His desire to colonize Mars is just a distraction. What drives him? He said, quote, if we can expand the scope and scale of consciousness, maybe we can find out the meaning of life. I don't think Satan could have said it any better. He wants mankind to find the meaning of life, the source of life, anywhere but from God. So UFOs can manifest from this spirit world? Well, how can that be? The spirit world lies outside our 3D world. Because we live in a 3D world, demonic forces must create physical aspects to aid the deception. UFOs are one result. UFOs have a physical reality. We're catching it on film. You can see them. You can observe them. The illusion is that those objects are from outer space in a technically sophisticated aircraft operated by an alien. That's the illusion. Now, what is this unseen dimension, this fourth dimension, or dimension beyond that? It's not time. Time is part of every dimension. Maybe this will help. A point is zero dimensions, no height, width, depth. One dimension is an infinite number of zero-dimensional points. Think a line. Two dimensions is an infinite number of one-dimensional lines perpendicular to each other. Think a plane or a flat surface. Three dimensions is an infinite number of 2D planes perpendicular to each other. Think of a cube. Well, four dimensions is an infinite number of 3D spaces perpendicular to our three spatial directions. Very hard to picture. Think of it this way. Just like a 2D person living on a flat surface can't look up and see a 3D person, a 3D person can't look in a spatial direction beyond our own and see a four-dimensional person. The spirit world aren't invisible beings in our 3D world. They're in their own dimension, moving in a direction perpendicular to our spatial directions. This is how Philip was transported after speaking with the Ethiopian eunuch. This is the dimension Elisha's servant was allowed to see briefly. We know God is the creator of the seen and the unseen, Colossians 3:16. Now you may say, Ray, I think your fourth dimension is make-believe. Where's the evidence? So back to physics briefly. What is physics? It's a study of how matter, energy, and forces control or govern the universe. And in physics, we see evidence of these extra space dimensions. Einstein's theory of general relativity describes the macroscopic, the big. Quantum theory describes the subatomic, the very small. And they both do a great job. But they're incompatible with each other. And so physicists have sought to squash them together to create the so-called theory of everything, TOE. There's multiple attempts to do that. But in one of them, one of the leading ones, for the math to work, there needs to be 10 or 11 space dimensions. So indeed, we see evidence for extra spatial dimensions in the world of physics. By the way, they're never going to come up with a theory of everything, because the missing bit is God himself, Colossians 1:17. In him, all things hold together by the word of his power. You can't account for the supernatural in an equation. And while on the subject of physics, I would be remiss if I didn't mention one more thing. Another piece of evidence of our creator God, and that's quantum entanglement. It describes that two related particles maintain an invisible and unbreakable link, even if they were separated to opposite ends of the universe. Einstein didn't understand this. He called it spooky action at a distance, because it ran counter to his theory of relativity, because now there is something moving faster than the speed of light, information. What it means is that the universe is intimately interconnected at a subatomic level, and I believe it's a manifestation of God's omnipresence. So is it real? If even Einstein didn't understand it? It is absolutely real. Even though it's poorly understood, it's the basis of all quantum computing and most current cybersecurity software. Listen, that math and physics can be used to describe the universe is proof of God in and of itself. It provides evidence of the seen and the unseen, the fourth dimension, the third heaven, the attributes of God. Carl Sagan was a famous fiction writer and atheist who played a key role in convincing the public that there's life out there. He wrote a novel called Contact. And it became the movie starring Jodie Foster. Maybe some of you have seen it. The iconic line in that movie about life elsewhere in the universe is, well, if there isn't, that'd be an awful waste of space. Sounds logical, right? This resonated with many people. This is human pea brain thinking versus the thoughts and purposes of God. The vastness of the universe is intended to reflect God's transcendent power, his majesty, his glory, a boundless and infinite creator. Psalm 19:1 and 2. The heavens are telling what? Of the glory of God. And their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. That's why it's so big. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. And Psalm 115, 16. The heavens are the heavens of the Lord, but the earth he has given to the sons of men. This verse alone strongly suggests there's no other life but from this planet. The heavens belong to the Lord. The earth belongs to men. The universe, in addition to declaring God's glory, was designed for life on this planet. We are perfectly positioned within the Milky Way with incredible precision. And if it was off even fractionally, no life could exist. The Milky Way is also somewhere near the center of the universe, which means we're somewhere near the center of the universe. Now, how could that be if not by design? The earth has been given to the sons of men. We're made in his image, and he sent his son to the earth to reconcile sinners to himself. Jesus is a God-man. He's not the God slash man slash alien. All of creation groans. All of creation has fallen. If aliens existed, they would be infected by sin and in need of a savior as well. There is no God alien. There is no aliens. We are significant because we are made in his image and likeness. Regarding the significance of man, Psalm 8:5. Yet you have made him a little lower than God, and you crown him with glory and majesty. If aliens existed, they'd be superior to man. You know, more intelligent, more advanced, more everything. But that's impossible. If we have the mind of Christ, there is no creation, alien creation above us. There are no aliens. And if one is ever presented, it's a demon or demonic illusion. I won't be shocked if the government rolls out some alien bodies on a gurney and say, here it is. Don't be fooled. Look, if you want to see a real alien, look around this room. All who belong to him are aliens in this world. So no, there's no life outside our planet. There's no intelligent aliens with advanced technology buzzing around the universe. Unexplained UFOs and other sightings are false wonders, manifestations from the spirit world in a dimension beyond our own, counterfeiting our creator God. All right, well, what about the 4 million Americans who have been abducted? There's a lot I could say about this, but in brief, almost all abductees can recount their experience only through hypnosis. Hypnosis unlocks memories, but also the imagination. A hypnotist can intentionally or unintentionally plant suggestions into the mind of the abductee or the patient. So can a spirit. Modern-day abductions strongly resemble ancient stories of demons. These alien abductions are not people being beamed up into a spaceship, but they're visitations into the mind by a spirit or a hypnotist. Nothing is going to seem more real to the abductee, and it can leave psychological as well as physical scarring. Thousands have gone insane. God describes the detestable things that the nation Israel were to displace in Deuteronomy 18, including one who uses divination, who practices witchcraft, or one who interprets omens, or a sorcerer, or one who casts a spell, or a medium, or a spiritualist. These omens and signs, this new age spiritualism of alien beings, it's demonic. But why the intensification? Because the end of all things is near. The next event on the prophetic calendar is the rapture of the church. Nothing has to happen to trigger the rapture. How is the world going to rationalize away the sudden disappearance of millions of people, some right before their eyes? There's going to be all kind of rationalization going on, but alien abduction is going to be part of that story. And why? It's to deceive and to disguise and to counterfeit the fulfillment of Scripture, the rapture of the church. Demonic activity was elevated during Jesus' first coming, and it's going to be more elevated as we approach his second coming. Demons disguising themselves as aliens is evidence of this demonic activity. I think we as Christians have gotten a bit too accommodating, a bit too sloppy in our adherence to the absolute truth of God's word. Can you be saved and not take the first verse of the Bible literally, that in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth? It's a trick question. Yes, of course you can. But at the same time, I tell you, you'd be in error. Addressing the Pharisees in Matthew 19, Jesus said, "Have you not read that he who created them from the beginning made them male and female?" Jesus took the Genesis creation account literally. So if you do not, it's no different than saying Jesus got it wrong. Everything was created in 6 literal days. The way the word day is used in the Hebrew is always referring to our literal 24-hour day. Too many Christians believe this is a secondary issue when I'm telling you it's primary. By playing fast and loose with the creation account, it leaves wiggle room for the world to teach that the world is 4.5 billion years old, which is plenty of time for evolution to work its random action, for humans to evolve from whatever, pond scum. And if evolution has occurred on Earth, well, then it's occurred elsewhere in the universe, alien evolution. The insanity of evolution is breathtaking. It's greater fiction than Little Green Martians. The evolutionary process is random, chaotic, and inefficient. Life does not rise spontaneously from non-life. Greater information doesn't come from lesser information. Matter doesn't arrange itself into complexity by any natural process. All mutations result in a loss of genetic information. And there is no simple life. Even a single cell is complex beyond description. And the simplest living organism has irreducible complexity. Beyond all this, you have to believe everything came from nothing. Evolution is a myth. It's nonsense. I don't know when Christ will return. If I said it did, I'd need to be banned from this pulpit forever. But this is what I do know. The earth is 6,000 years old. The Bible makes this clear through the creation account and the detailed genealogies. The earth's geology, its sedimentology, its hydrology, its archaeology is completely consistent with the creation account and the Noah flood. And if the earth is only 6,000 years old, then I can boldly declare that we do not have billions of years left. We don't have millions of years left. We don't have hundreds of thousands of years left. Scoffers will come with their scoffing, but we are in the last days. John says we are in the last hour. And I have recent experience that provides further evidence. 1 Timothy 4:1, the Spirit explicitly says that in later times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrine of demons. So we are in these later times. For I bear witness to this falling away from those most close to me. But I'm going to keep trusting the goodness of God. It is well with my soul. And so I'll leave you with three pieces of practical advice revolving around seeking truth, making the most of your time, and fighting the right spiritual fight. Embedded in each will also be advice to those here who hear or watch and who do not believe. First, truth. Be students of the Bible, not casual reading. Solid food is for the mature. Proverbs 14:15 says that naive believe everything. In a world of increasing deception and lies, you're soon going to find no truth outside of Scripture. Let's look again at the very first verse of the Bible. Everything in the created universe sits in one of five scientific categories: time, force, action, space, and matter. In the beginning, time, God, the force, created the action, heavens, space, and the earth, matter. Maybe we'd all have less trouble understanding physics if we accepted the first verse of the Bible. Listen. We have an evidence-based faith, not a blind faith. The blind faith is believing in alien evolution. Knowledge about biology, chemistry, mathematics, energy, atomic structure, all can be discovered in the Bible. You can see the first and second law of thermodynamics in the Bible. You can discover that the Earth is a sphere, suspended and tilted in space, spinning on its axis, rotating around the sun and through space, in the Bible. If you want to know the truth about aliens or anything else, all truth is there. For non-believers, at least be curious. Seek truth and wisdom. Proverbs 2, 3, and 4, the Bible says that if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek and search for wisdom, then you will perhaps understand what currently you do not. And in your search for wisdom, you may well discover the knowledge of God. Secondly, time. We are in the last days, and time is running short. Fellow saints, every moment counts for eternity. Every moment impacts eternity. There's an appointed time for everything. We're accountable for every moment. So here's one practical thing you can do is put your phone down. Rein in your consumption of social media, the news, gaming. Satan loves smartphones. There's 8 billion people on the planet and 5.8 billion have a smartphone. Many have more than one. It's a very small step, if we're not there already, where everyone who can operate a smartphone has one. Rich, poor, urban, remote, free or oppressed, everybody. The average American checks their phone 144 times a day. That's an average of 5 to 10 times, once every 5 to 10 minutes. The average American spends 4 to 5.5 hours on their phone. So let me ask, what is the first thing you reach for when you wake up, other than maybe a cup of coffee? Your phone or your Bible? 90% of people check their phone within 10 minutes of waking up, and then it's hard to put it down. Listen, we're to make the most of our time because the days are evil. Don't treat the purpose of God casually. A lot of time can be recovered simply by putting your phone down. And I'll briefly add that excessive screen time damages the brain. The broad term for it is digital dementia. There are consequences for squandering massive amount of time. And for those here who are watching who do not believe, how can you ever glimpse the supernatural if you won't contemplate the natural? He did not leave himself without witness, Acts 14:16, and you have no excuse. Romans 1:20, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Look up from your phone and the distractions of the world. His eternal power and divine nature are on display. It's not on Instagram. You don't have to be a theoretical physicist to see the handiwork of God, but you have to look. And thirdly, interaction with the spirit world. Christians fight the right spiritual fight. Do not address Satan or his demons. They're way too powerful and clever for you. You have no authority over them whatsoever. The whole world lies in the power of the evil one. This is his domain. What was Jesus' prayer for his disciples in anticipation of his departure? John 17:14, to keep them from the evil one. Only God can protect you from demons and Satan. Go look up what happens to men when the seven sons of Sceva try to exercise authority over a demon. Now, your spiritual warfare is to fight for the mind, using the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It's the Word of God. It isn't you rebuking Satan. For non-believers, the danger is extreme. You aren't indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Palm reading, horoscopes, Ouija boards, it's not innocent fun. It's portals into the demonic realm. And if you enter there, there may be no escape. Don't seek higher levels of enlightenment or consciousness, because demons are going to fill that space. So I'm going to have to conclude. Seek truth, make the most of your remaining time, and tread carefully in the spirit world. Ignore this alien nonsense, which subverts all three of these areas. Listen, truth is stranger than science fiction. Recall that one of the alien bodies recovered by our government is called an insectoid, which looks like a praying mantis. I would lose sleep over this. But one day, mankind will have to deal with an insect-like creature. But these are going to emerge from the ground, not from above. They're going to be as plentiful as locusts, and they're going to sting like scorpions. They're going to have teeth like lions and faces like men. And they're going to torture humanity. Everyone who's on that planet at that time will seek death and not find it. Those are insects that mankind will have to deal with, not insectoids from outer space. So I declare the following 10 truths this morning. No life exists in the universe outside of this planet. We are the crown of his creation, not aliens. 2, unexplained UFOs are manifestations from the demonic world. 3, the unseen world lies in a dimension beyond our own. 4, God is the creator, and he created everything in 6 days. Aliens are not the source or meaning of life. 5, the earth is about 6,000 years old. 6, evolution is science fiction. Absolutely zero evidence. 7, the church will be raptured, and soon. 8, alien abductions will be used to help rationalize away the rapture. 9, demonic activity and false teaching is rapidly intensifying, and it's going to accelerate. And 10, Jesus is coming back, and soon. And for these truths, the world will call us fools. I'm so grateful to be a fool, based and despised. I'm so glad he came to save the lowly. I'm glad he chose me, so I have nothing to boast about but his grace alone. We will be mocked and ridiculed for the truth that I just recited, and for all of God's truth. But God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 1:18. So yes, look up, but not for UFOs or aliens, but for the return of Christ. Matthew 24:30. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. Now that's going to be a sight to behold. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for that you are truth. You are the way, the truth, and the life. Oh, what is man that you take thought of him, that you care for him? Thank you for providing a way of escape, an escape from the wrath to come. Come quickly, Lord, so that the knowledge of you and your glory fill the earth. And at the name of Jesus, one day, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen.